welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week, she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope that will enhance your study of the Scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths to marriage and parenting, to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
One of the most disturbing trends in today's modern church culture is the notion that because of short attention spans, Sunday morning services should be more about motivating and inspiring Christians to help them make it through the week rather than instilling the doctrinal truths that build strong disciples. So many services I've attended in recent years seem more like a pep rally than a classroom designed to equip the saints. Congregations have grown so large in many instances that the ability for a pastor to have a meaningful teaching time with the church body has fallen by the wayside. And Sunday school is on the decline. Why? Ken Brady, in an article he wrote titled Encouraging and Equipping Sunday School and Small Groups, listed 25 reasons, but here are just a few. Churches are not starting new groups regularly. Churches are no longer training Sunday school teachers regularly. Teachers are not bringing quality, engaging, and interactive Bible studies. If Sunday morning is no longer conducive to discipleship training, and fewer church members are attending Sunday school, which traditionally was a time for Bible teaching, then where can the body of Christ hope to receive quality biblical teaching and training? I've been told by several pastors that their answer to this dilemma is small groups. We certainly have seen an explosion of the small group model across the Christian community in past years. Yet for the most part, small groups tend to have leaders, not teachers. This is an important distinction. A small group may have a leader that does some teaching, or they may facilitate a DVD series, but overall, the small group leader doesn't function primarily as a teacher. Small groups in general discuss the Bible, but don't necessarily learn about the Bible. And plenty of people don't even attend a small group with any regularity, and many others don't attend at all. I believe the abdication of a dedicated Sunday morning teaching time by many of today's pastors is one of the main reasons for the biblical illiteracy plaguing our Christian community today. A number of Christians aren't getting grounded in the Word, which is essential to building a lasting personal relationship with Christ. Instead, they seek out experiences that help them feel closer to Christ, but often don't gain the knowledge that will sustain them when life comes to a point, which it does for all of us and more than just once or twice, when they don't feel close to God, when they don't feel saved, redeemed, loved, or secure. Many ask if the Bible even speaks to the real problems of real people in the real world. Does it offer viable solutions to life's problems? Absolutely, it does. And you can weigh the evidence and decide for yourself in Francis Schaeffer's 25 Basic Bible Studies, which detail what the Bible actually teaches regarding our most fundamental questions about life and God. So come be a part as we search out the answers. This book highlights scripture passages on the central doctrines of Christianity, such as creation, man's sin and God's grace, the person and the work of Christ, future events, and briefly explains how each passage supports the biblical teaching on that particular theme. It's all right there, laid out simply. You can see for yourself what the Bible says in God's own words. This volume also contains two of Schaeffer's essays on the four things Christians need to make an impact in the current age. Together, these two works serve to show the coherence and credibility of the Scriptures and their relevance to the critical issues in your life. In the book's foreword, Udo Mittelman shares how this book came into being. You probably know someone like Dr. Otten, Mittelman writes, a family doctor with a very busy life. His was a life interrupted by interruptions. Summer and winter he would drive at great speed up and down the narrow Swiss valleys, dotted with villages and isolated farms, in response to medical emergencies. Like many modern people, he had not been exposed to Christianity, except on a superficial religious level, which rarely interests an educated person with questions to be answered. The 25 basic Bible studies were first written for Dr. Otten to help him understand the simple and obvious teachings of the Bible. Before long, they became a small booklet that could be handed to anyone who wanted to know more about the teachings of Christianity. Dr. Otten was often too busy to read the whole Bible, yet he wanted to know what the Bible taught. He wanted to understand a worldview with this system of thought presented in it. "I, too, first came into contact with Christianity through this booklet," Middleman explains. "I had assumed that faith stands in contrast to understanding, and that Christianity, therefore, is only for a person with religious needs. But when I opened 25 basic Bible studies, I found to my surprise a structured presentation of what the Bible teaches. The studies covered the various themes I had associated with Christianity, but about which I had no clear understanding. I pored over the chapters night after night, only to discover that there was order, coherence, and verification to the Bible. Rather than a vague quest to find God, a comprehensive explanation of the kind of universe we live in as human beings was found. The studies are not intended to be read for the personal meaning they may have for the reader. Instead, Dr. Schaefer gathered the Bible passages in each of the chapters around a given theme in order to delineate the biblical view from the worldview. Different chapters, for example, present what the Bible says about God and man, about reality and false views, about sin and redemption, about history and our own responsibilities. The studies are addressed to the person who is not interested in simply being religious, but one who wants to know what the Bible teaches. They can bring the Bible into the marketplace of ideas so that anyone can weigh the evidence and discover whether the content of the Bible speaks about the real world, real people, real problems, and real solutions, and whether it is therefore accurate and credible. For Dr. Schaefer, the truth of Christianity was not an assumption, nor a matter of blind faith. "There is only one reason to be a Christian," he would frequently say, "and that is that Christianity is true to reality. It is true truth." By this play on words, he wanted to counter the existentialist and the now postmodern suggestion that all truth is merely personal truth, merely a personal story or a personal experience in faith, rather than something absolute and eternal. As you start your study of the chapters in this book, you will be taken back to the beginning of all questions. What is eternal? Do we live in a universe with personality, or is everything part of a cosmic machine? Is God good, evil, or indifferent? And how can we know anything for sure? The Bible is not a religious book, at least not in the sense of religion being an effort to link one's life to a private world of meaning or to resign oneself to fate. In the Bible, as these studies will show, we are confronted with the propositions about the world we live in, which we can examine in light of our observations and determine whether they are true, fitting, and unique. We are brought into a situation where a true meeting of the minds takes place, as the creature acknowledges in his whole being the existence of the God of the Bible. And if through the study of these lessons that is your response, then you are encouraged to bow before God both intellectually as a creature and morally as a sinner, and receive through the work of the historic Christ your own moral forgiveness and hope for eternal life. Now, Dr. Schaefer was not born into a family of Christians. He set out to reject what he knew about Christianity, but decided to read the Bible once before he did so. As he started to read, he discovered that the Bible in its propositions and descriptions address the foundational questions of existence. The Bible, Schaeffer discovered, gave real and coherent answers in a structured, systematic way. I think you'll be pleased by the simplicity of the studies. They are structured so that a verse or passage of Scripture is given with a brief explanation. It is helpful to read the verses found before and after the given reference to discover the content, with each passage bearing on the specific subject under discussion. The general approach is to ask, what does the Bible say about, and fill in the blank. As you fill out the pieces of the puzzle, you will be surprised by the whole view that reveals a new and real world of meaning, beauty, and moral direction. You will discover that Christianity requires acknowledgement by the whole person, with the mind and feelings, and that there are not individual truths with personal religious meaning, but only the truth of the universe as given in the Bible. And when we bow down before God who makes himself known to us in the language of the Bible and in the Christ of history, he removes the moral and intellectual foolishness of sin from us and wonderfully gives us eternal life. These 25 basic Bible studies are meant to give an understanding of the whole system of teaching given in the Bible. Too often when people begin to study the Scripture, they do not see the relationship of all of its parts. However, because one of the wonderful things about the Bible is its unity, Bible study without keeping this unity in mind is a real loss. Therefore, Schaeffer notes, each individual lesson should be studied with the whole table of contents consciously in mind, so that each lesson can be seen in relationship to the teaching of the Bible as a whole. These studies are not meant to be read as a book, Schaeffer asserts. If they were, a much more detailed text would have been given. Rather, they are to be followed to be a help in study of the Bible itself. Make sure when you begin to go through these studies, you have both the Old and New Testaments available. The best way to use these studies is to look up each presented individual verse in the Bible, read the verse with care, and then read the statement that is made in the studies about the verse. The statements are not supposed to be a complete explanation of any of the verses. Instead, they point to one specific thing that is taught in that verse as the one specific thing bears on the teaching of that particular lesson. The first Bible reference given, Ephesians 1:4, has many rich things in it that are not mentioned in the statement following it. But attention is called to choose one of the things that Ephesians 1:4 teaches, that God, being a personal God, thinks. Each verse should be looked up and considered in light of the statement that immediately follows it, not merely as an isolated statement, but in light of the whole lesson and in light of the flow of the unity of the biblical teaching as it is set forth in all the 25 studies. The Bible is not just an unrelated group of verses. It is a unit, and it has content that can be studied as one studies other books. Studied in this way, the Bible will be seen to have many things to say in answer to the questions that people are asking in our generation about the meaning and the purpose of life. It tells us who man is, man's purpose, the source of man's problems, and the solution to those problems. Of course, this study is just a beginning to help us start to study the Bible. The Bible is a unit, and eventually we should read it all and see the relationship of each part to the whole. The unity of the Bible begins at the beginning, Genesis, and goes to the end, the book of Revelation. Now Schaeffer warns, using the verses as I have used them in these 25 basic Bible studies has a danger that must be recognized and guarded against. That danger is choosing certain proof texts isolated from the context and forcing all the rest of the Bible's teaching into our understanding of that one passage. This is a danger. No one verse can give the whole Bible's richness. Each verse is to be taken in context if it is to be rightly understood. There are three contexts of each verse we study. First, the immediate context. Second, the whole book in which the verse is located, and this includes the careful consideration of the purpose of that book. Third, the whole Bible and its teaching. The whole Bible's teaching gives us a series of balances that no one verse can give. This takes a lifetime of careful study. Yet as Schaeffer has used the verses, he has tried to use them fairly, using his lifetime of study of the whole Bible as the background of each verse he has selected. These 25 basic Bible studies are just that, basic teaching to open the door for a lifetime of Bible study in a world where meaningful study of the Scriptures seems to be a lost art. With the entire table of contents in mind as you study, it is hoped that these studies will provide a framework to understand the wonder of the flow of the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Then a lifetime of careful and prayerful study will show that these 25 studies are indeed only the beginning. It is not necessary to do a whole study at a time. If you want, you can spend a specific amount of time each day. When you reach that time, simply draw a line and start at that point the next day. Schaeffer's advice is that each time you do one of these studies, you speak to God and ask Him to give you the understanding through the use of the Bible and the study together. If you are someone pursuing these studies who does not believe that God exists, Schaeffer suggests that you say aloud in the quietness of your room, "Dear God, if there is a God, I want to know whether you exist, and I am asking that I may be willing to bow before you if you do exist." All 25 studies, including the 4 supplemental essays, is less than 150 pages. These studies are broken down into 4 sections. Section 1, God. Section 2, God's dealing with man. Section 3, salvation and sanctification. Section 4, things of the future. If you're like me and find that many of today's sermons leave you wanting, if you would like to know more about the foundational truths presented in the Holy Scriptures, then the 25 Basic Bible Studies by Francis Schaeffer might just be a place to start. In addition, the supplemental essays are invaluable. There are 4 things that Schaeffer thought were absolutely necessary if we as Christians are going to meet the need of our age and the overwhelming pressure we are increasingly facing. They are what Schaeffer calls contents and realities, and there are 2 of each. The first content is sound doctrine, something that is surely missing in much of the Christian community today. The second content is honest answers to honest questions, something else that is often missing in our churches. The first reality is true spirituality. We recently re-aired an episode of the Fireside Bookshelf dedicated solely to this subject. It is available on the Share in Hearts homepage if you desire a more in-depth look at this topic. The second reality is the beauty of human relationships. Since the lack of sound doctrine being taught from many pulpits today is what prompted this episode, I want to share with you a bit from the sound doctrine essay in the time we have left today. There is no use talking about meeting the threat of the coming time or for fulfilling our calling unless we consciously help each other to have a clear doctrinal position. We must have the courage to make no compromise with liberal theology, and especially neo-orthodox existential theology, Schaeffer declares. Christianity is a specific body of truth. It is a system, and we must not be ashamed of the word system. There is truth, and we must hold to that truth. There will be borderline things in which we have differences among ourselves, but on the central issues, there must be no compromise. Christians can fall into something that is really not very far from existential theology without even knowing it. One form of such evangelical existentialism is the attitude, if not the words, "Don't ask questions, just believe." This sort of attitude was always wrong. It is doubly wrong today when we are surrounded with a monolithic consensus that divides reason from non-reason and always puts religious things in the area of non-reason. We must call each other away from this idea. It is not more spiritual to believe without asking questions. It is not more biblical. It must be the whole man who comes to understand that the gospel is truth and believes because he is convinced on the basis of good and sufficient reason that it is truth. This does not mean that there are not some elements of the workings of God that we must take on faith, but knowing overall that Christianity is logical and reasonable and doesn't have to be accepted merely in blind faith. Schaeffer stresses, we must be very careful to emphasize content in our messages. No matter who our audience, the gospel we speak must be rich in content. We must be very careful not to fall into a cheaper solution, which seems so fascinating at first, or just moving people to make decisions without them really knowing what they're making a decision about. Schaeffer explains that people came to his school who had accepted Christ as Savior, but weren't even sure if God existed. The acceptance of Christ as Savior was an abstract thing. It had insufficient content, and feel-good Sunday morning pep rallies must guard against deliberately or thoughtlessly diminishing the content of Christianity. Because when the content of Christianity is lacking, when its people are not taught the Word in depth, then the biblical commands and the precepts are not ingrained on our hearts, and it becomes too easy for the enemy to lead us astray. For example, it's become very fashionable in the world of parenting to take a very hands-off approach when it comes to raising children. Parents of this mindset deem that it is preferable to try and not influence their children one way or another in a variety of areas during their upbringing, especially in the case of what to think about God. Instead, they set about trying to be completely neutral, thus allowing the child to eventually one day choose for themselves, not realizing that that position in itself is influencing the child. And this is occurring within the Christian community, not just in the secular one. Yet for professing Christians, this position goes explicitly against biblical teaching. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 8 state, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your home, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." And Proverbs 22:6 tells us, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Scripture clearly declares that it is to man's benefit to learn and follow God's word. But if we do not receive strong doctrinal teaching, it becomes difficult to practice the truth we say we believe. We must exhibit to our own children and to the watching world that we take truth seriously. It will not do in an age of relativism to say that we believe in truth and yet fail to practice that truth. Do you think for a moment we will have credibility if we say we believe the truth and yet do not believe the truth with such conviction that we cannot imagine not passing it on to our children? If we do not recognize our great need for knowing God's word, then we will never be able to practically practice the truth in any meaningful way, and cannot expect for one moment that the tough-minded young person, including our own Christian young people, will take us seriously when we say, "Here is the true truth," when they are surrounded by a world telling them that truth does not exist. 25 Basic Bible Studies can be found online and is currently available in paperback. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf. None of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word. And please remember to always read with discernment. And while no book besides the Bible can be all things to all people, our hope here at the Fireside Bookshelf is to present a variety of Christian resources that seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and which provide insights to help strengthen and deepen your spiritual walk.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of Sharon Hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here at the Fireside Bookshelf.